This is Dairy Radio Now with Bill Baker.
Make every drop count is the theme of this year's joint annual meeting presented by the National Milk Producers Federation. Here to tell us more, National Milk's Chris Galen.
Yes, this is a meeting that we hold every year, although last year it was virtual, and so we're glad to be in person again in Las Vegas this coming weekend. It's a meeting we hold with the National Dairy Checkoff Organizations under the umbrella of Dairy Management Incorporated, and we talk about how both the policy organization, which is National Milk, and the promotion organizations are working oftentimes together, not always, but on various things that collectively help out the dairy farmer community. One of the key things we're going to be talking about this year, Bill, is obviously what we've done the last 18, 20 months to help the industry cope with and hopefully recover from the effects of the COVID pandemic. We'll be talking about some of the things National Milk did working with Congress and the U.S. Department of Agriculture to help provide additional assistance in various forms, including direct payments, the Farmers to Families Food Box program last year, the new dairy donation program, which is coming online. All those things are designed to directly or indirectly help farmers. So we have a lot to talk about there.
As you say, this is a joint annual meeting, so you'll be talking about marketing and promotion and, of course, policy. Any other trends out there that will be affecting the dairy industry?
Yeah, one of the key things we'll be exploring on Tuesday is a discussion about the essential nature and the sustainable nature of dairy foods. And for our contribution to that, for National Milk's contribution, one thing that we have to tell the audience is that right around the corner, maybe not staring us in the eye yet, but it's coming, are competitive products that are made in laboratories. You know, we've talked a lot, Bill, the last decade or so about fake dairy foods made out of plants, the soy and the oat, whatever the product is this month showing up in the dairy case. But coming very soon will be cell-cultured or lab-made dairy proteins, casein and whey, that are cultured from cells like yeast, made in a laboratory. So they have the same physical chemistry as dairy proteins, but they come from a laboratory, not from a cow. And one of the big issues we're going to be faced with is that there will be some interest in using these. They will be marketed as sustainable or perhaps not from animals, so they are quote-unquote cruelty-free. You can see where the animal rights activists and the environmentalists will want to seize on these things. And so we've got to be able to position ourselves as an industry to keep reminding people about the sustainable nature of real dairy foods, because the competitive landscape is going to change and expand to include these lab-based products, and that's only a few years down the road.
It's interesting. We talk about dairy imitators and real food, but now we're talking about laboratory food, but we don't really focus on the bigger picture of what can really happen.
Well, it's a bigger picture. It's just an expanded competitive playing field. I know the meat industry is also concerned about this, because those same laboratory technologies that can make the dairy proteins in a lab can do the same with things like beef and pork and poultry. They're looking at seafood as well. So the whole issue of what is a real food and what is a real dairy protein or animal protein is going to evolve as we go forward. One of the other sessions, Bill, that we'll be featuring is, and related to this, is securing dairy's place with the next generation of consumers. Now we're seeing the arrival of Generation Z, people basically 25 and younger, and my own two kids are in that category, and what their expectations are of where their food comes from. That's going to be another focus of our meeting.
Sounds like a lot of good information coming out of that meeting, the joint annual meeting, the 14th through the 17th. That's Chris Galen, the Senior VP of Membership Services and Strategic Initiatives with the National Milk Producers Federation. More details at nmpf.org.
A new pandemic assistance program is designed to help certified organic or transitioning to organic producers with various expenses. USDA Farm Service Agency Administrator Zach Ducheneau explains the Organic and Transitional Education and Certification Program.
Each year, 2020, 2021, and 2022, the OTECP will cover 25% of a certified operations eligible certification expenses, up to $250 per certification category. That's crops, livestock, wild crops, handling, and state organic program fees. And it also covers 75% of a transitional operations eligible expenses, up to $750 for each year.
Sign up is now underway for this new program through local USDA service centers.
The application period for 2020 and 2021 runs through January 7th. The application period for 2022 will be announced at a later date.
And that's USDA Radio's Rod Bain, and I'm Bill Baker, Dairy Radio Now.